Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Like pro wrestling? Well, we like pro wrestling too. This week in the news, Andrade gets released in the lazy river of wrestling criticism, previews of WrestlePalooza, and AEW All Out. No Vader Club this week, as I am riding solo. I am Jeff Hawkins. Chris Novembrino is not here. I'm always thinking of that WWF thing, for over 25 years, the standard of excellence in sports entertainment that they used to do as a little blurb before the show, and it's like, shake them ropes. For almost 15 years, semi-competency in wrestling podcasting. It's my story. I'm sticking to it. I do not like doing solo audio. I like talking to people. I almost did a live on this, but I also realized I don't like talk radio. I never liked doing a lot of the live call-ins necessarily, because once the hosts get to the callers, it's either self-affirmation, or I want to fight you, or let me tell you this, or in wrestling especially, but in sports talk, it's this, let me give you this fantasy scenario and see if you agree with it. It's like, I always laugh because LA sports radio, it was always, can the Lakers somehow snow another team to do the same thing they did with Kobe and Pau Gasol? And it's like, no, dummies. Some teams actually like their players and their fans. Not everybody's just going to sell you something for table scraps. It's always, do you think we could get, Giannis for our 12th bench player, the guy we have on injured reserve? Yes, let's go after that. I just always found it ridiculous. And like, especially like if you listen to like political talk radio, it's one of those things where it's like, once the host goes to the callers, it sucks. Don't do it. Anyway, so in the news, I'll keep this short and simple for the most part. We don't need to dwell, and you don't need to listen to me. It's pretty great. Andrade released this past week by WWE over disciplinary reasons that appear to stem from his being escorted out of a SmackDown taping and sent home in August. Reports to the Wrestling Observer did not know the reason he was sent home, but only knew it was not a situation where he was in no condition to perform, nor did it have to do with anything related to his ex-wife, Ashley Flair, a.k.a. Charlotte. John Alba and Sports Illustrated reported that he had failed a drug test, which would have been his second one, because he also failed one in 2020. They keep those things on records. This would have led to a 60-day suspension. Before the test failure, the Wyatt Six were to defend the tag titles against Andrade and Rey Fénix at the August 31st Clash in Paris pay-per-view show, but were replaced by the Street Profits in a match that came out of nowhere. His last match prior to the suspension was at SummerSlam in the multiple team TLC match on August 3rd, which was really good. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about this, and I don't know how Triple H handles these things. My only real knowledge is prior regimes, aka Vince McMahon. And if you failed a drug test, it was kind of put in your jacket and kept there until they wanted to use it. It was no, like, the Tully Blanchard situation still rests. Like, it still lives rent-free in my head. Because I guess on that cocaine thing he got dinged for, it was like months prior when he took the test or whatever, and they just held it onto him until they wanted to go back to WCW, and then they sprung it on him, and then they, of course, leaked it to WCW so that it killed their negotiating power and stuff like that. And look, let's not be naive. If they want to bust you for drugs and you're doing drugs, they're going to bust you for drugs. If they don't want to bust you for doing drugs, say certain kinds of drugs like steroids and stuff like that, they're not going to. It's all relative to backstage and office politics and things of that nature. I had heard at one point, no, they're doing it straight down the middle. They're doing it straight down the middle. And then you see a guy that's in the main event that's had some injuries, and my God, he's been working out quite a bit to the point that he's gained 75 pounds of muscle in 3 months. Okay, cool. I'll buy that. Sure. Eating healthy. But I've always kind of held a skeptical eye to WWE's wellness policy. Now, look, I can see plenty of reasons why you would want one, especially, look, I grew up in the age where guys were having heart attacks and dying at age 42 and et cetera, et cetera, and dying way too young. I get that. The boys like to party. The boys like their party drugs as well. I know Andrade's gotten in a few fights here and there backstage. I don't know. And look, I don't look at his back for acne or anything like that. I'm not one of those guys. I don't particularly care. To me, the basic statement is, if you do drugs and they want you to have a drug failure, you're going to get a drug failure. That's pretty much to me what it is. And if they want to get rid of you, they're going to get rid of you. Saw a lot of talk of, should AEW take him back? And I said, yes. He had that issue with Sammy backstage, but other people have had issues with Sammy backstage. I always liked his character in AEW too. The stuff with Darby, I need a callback for the your boss said. It's like, my boss? Yes, Sting, you know, your dad. Stuff was great. But for me, Andrade is a guy that needs a mouthpiece while still maintaining his aura, as opposed to kind of like comedy stuff. I liked Jose the Assistant, but it wasn't Gary Hart. Let's put it that way. And I guess according to the Observer report, there was frustrations that his English hadn't gotten better. I'm just like, dude, if there are weaknesses, you can address them. This is pro wrestling. It's a show. Figure things out, build them, and protect guys. It's like Asuka does fine without a translator. Doesn't need one. You know, the others need some work, but it's like, I don't understand the hesitancy to go to the way things were in wrestling a lot of times. It's like, oh, that's just old school fashioned. Yeah, well, those things worked. And they made your guys more famous. And they made things more interesting. And it's a lot like watching the NFL. And you complain about guys that are system quarterbacks and things like that. Where Tom Brady had a great rant where, like, it was with Colin Cowherd, who I just don't like. But he was like, if a guy can't, if a quarterback's not getting it by year two in November, you cut him loose. And Tom Brady's like, no, because a lot of people don't know anything in the NFL. And so if you get stuck with a guy who doesn't know how to teach you, if you get stuck in a system that they're trying to fit you into their system, and instead of building the system around you, you're going to have some issues there. It's not necessarily the talent of the guy or whatever. And I just, promos are the lifeblood to me of professional wrestling. And I don't like WWE's expositional. I'm going to come out in the ring and last week at SmackDown, I blah, 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 doing it in front of an arena, half of whom are screaming what? Arena wrestling, not my jam for the most part, but that's the way things be right now. And I'm going to start this promo, and then I never get to finish it because next guy I'm facing comes out and interrupts. So I never get over, they never get over, we fight, we have 50-50 booking until the pay-per-view, next man up. I've just never... That style, in order to be main event, always just irked me. I like heat. Figure out a way to get heat on guys, and then let's build feuds from there. Roger Jackson, arrested on September 18th on a felony assault charge stemming from his beating of Stu Smith, a.k.a. Psycho Stu, at the August 23rd Knox Pro Wrestling Show in Sun Valley, California. Took you long enough. Yeah, we talked about this earlier. At press time, he was still in jail being held on $50,000 bond. Which is fascinating in a number of reasons. Number one, L.A., not a cash bail situation for the most part, unless it's extremely violent cases or they fear people fleeing. Number two, his family's rich. Why is he still in jail right now? He's fairly well off, too. That's fascinating to me in so many ways, even though the case in and of itself is not to me. Gotta be honest with you. Just doesn't ring my bell, and Chris wanted to talk about it, and I just was like, okay, we'll talk about it, because he has some things to say, and he had some opinions. I was kind of like, dumb, on all counts. Let's move on. Dave Bautista, who noted that the role of Peacemaker was originally written by James Gunn for him, said that while he wanted to do the role, that John Cena was better for it than he would have been. True. Many of you know I wrote a screenplay for Suicide Squad back in 1995. I wrote it, and I pitched it to Warner Brothers in 1996. I was old school John Ostrander, who actually appeared in the second Suicide Squad film. He's the doctor that puts in the explosive device in the back of people's necks on that. And also, if you watch the first Suicide Squad, the building they rescue Viola Davis, Amanda Waller, is the Ostrander building. So John Ostrander and I used to have some conversations back in the early to mid 90s through email. Very, very nice guy. Really liked him and his wife a lot. Loved his run on that series. It was so fantastic. But yes, as soon as John Cena was cast, I was like, he has to be Peacemaker. Now, The funny version of Peacemaker, not my thing, but he makes it work. I think Dave Bautista in that role, I always thought Dave Bautista would have made a good blockbuster in Suicide Squad as like a cameo. Like, I always thought when the Justice League were captured or left Earth or were turned on by people, the way to introduce the Suicide Squad, just do Legends, send them on that mission, have Dave Bautista do a cameo as Blockbuster. He gets killed in Legends. Move on. I guess they made a twin for Batman where he's actually super smart. He could play the twin too. That kind of be, it's kind of his jam right now in roles. It's between him and Dwayne. And it's like, I want to be respected as a thespian. And you're just like, that's not why you're here. You're here because you're the big muscle guys. And get paid. It's so odd how many actors and stuff want to be known for other things other than their wheelhouse. I want to be known for my activism. I want to be known as a serious actor. And this is all just meaningless stuff for the most part. Nobody talks about the Marx Brothers other than me anymore. I don't know. Kira Hogan, who hasn't been used much at all, was taken off the active roster page. We were told her contract expired and wasn't renewed. She had been working on a reality show. Her last match was in December. Yeah. Kind of fell through the cracks after the dissolution of the baddies. Was doing some Ring of Honor stuff. Was doing a lot of TikToks with Red Velvet, who's currently injured. Yeah. There are people on this roster who fit that mold who are just on the roster and getting paid and not doing anything. And that's wrestling right now, especially AEW. TKO announced a $1 million stock buyback plan. This had been talked about for months. It was actually budgeted for $2 billion, with a B, meaning they are likely to do more of this. The idea is that they are so confident in the company's worth, the company's worth will increase, and in doing so, the stock price will usually go up because they've cut down on the supply of stock to the public. Stock rose to an all-time record high of $204.49 later that day. Ended up closing at $202.80, so ended up only slightly from before the announcement. TKO stock is now worth $16.657 billion. We do talk stocks around here. Yes, a very bullish indicator is when the company decides that they're going to cut the supply of stock by buying back, meaning taking some of the profits and buying back shares. When it reduces the supply, inevitably it goes up, but also it causes a bit of a run because people see this, but also because of all the vested shares that a lot of these people already have through management deals and whatnot, makes their worth a lot more, which means Vince McMahon should have never sold his stock. Burning money for whatever dumb thing he wants to do next. It's a smart plan. This company is printing cash. TKO is a fascinating business, even though I don't like a lot of their businesses. I've soured on UFC. WWE is okay. Boxing does nothing for me anymore. I don't know about you guys. It's mostly freak fights like this last one with Canelo Alvarez. I used to be a big heavyweight boxing fan. I know there's a lot of guys who like the Pacquiao years and stuff like that. But for me, the big dudes with the thuds always got me going. And boxing has been taken over by other big fights. And also, for the most part, I think people have just soured on watching people get beat up. I really do. I think it's one of those things where, like, if you like UFC and you really like UFC, like Ryan Frederick over at Wrestling Observer, man, you will still watch every show. But the star power, now that they've expanded and, you know, have like 12 different weight classes and 16 interim titles and stuff, it's hard to keep up with if you were just like the guy that was watching four weight classes and a pay-per-view once a month. It's one of these things where you watch these sports leagues and they want to cross-pollinate to every single platform. They want to be on every single day. And the networks will pay for it, but not a lot of people are watching. It's just for the niche fandoms. And you're just like, eh. Like, I'm a big NFL guy, but man, I don't like the Thursday games, even though they've been a staple. I think they're bad football because guys need time to heal. But I hate Friday games. Like during COVID, it was kind of cool because you get the random Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. in an empty stadium game. I'm like, all right, I'll put on some football here. But, you know, Sunday, Monday, Christmas going in there, you know, when you already own Thanksgiving, it's a little much for me. I get it, but still. And now, you know, New Year's Eve is our day. New Year's is our day. We need three more teams to fill this stuff, and we're going to make football worse because of it. It's just, you know, it's not my thing, man. I'm old. I like it. I'm stubborn in my ways. Yells at cloud. Paul Levesque was on with Shannon Sharp. Said they were planning on building a new, larger performance center in Orlando. Now let's pause there. Why is Shannon Sharp still a thing? Yes, he got fired from ESPN for a sexual assault settlement. Why are we going on Club Shay Shay? Are we not aware of this, guys? Are we? Well, man needs to make a living. Well, he's rich. No, he doesn't. He needs to grow up. Stop being 60 and going after 20-year-olds. Although, you know, some people say if you can, you should. I am not one of those people. What are you talking about? What is a person with 30 years, like 3 decades, like these September, May romances? Like, what always gets me is Catherine McPhee and David Foster. Like, David Foster is like 78 and she was like 29 when they got married. And I'm just like, granddad issues? I don't know. I'm just like, what do you possibly talk about when you're like in your 70s and you're dating someone in their late 20s? You know, she keeps me young and vibe and I'm hip and we do pickleball and we watch concerts because I'm really into these new musical acts and stuff. I've got, you are such a fraud, all of you. Stop it. Maybe the answer to all your questions is money. I don't know. Just those things always just, I watch, I go, yeah, there could be love there. And I'm not, look, I am not against, do not get me wrong, I am not against May, December romances at all. If you're happy and you're in love, good. I just get questions from time to time. And it's one of those things where it's like, I have problems enough talking to people 10 years my younger. Also, because my mindset is from the 1940s and we're almost in the 2040s. So I don't know. Like, hey, again, want to watch the Marx Brothers? Who are the Marx Brothers? Is that about communism? No. So I don't know. It's just one of these things where I was not made for these times, and I'm not made for your times, probably. But anyways, Paul Levesque was on with Shannon Sharp and said they were planning on building a new, larger performance center in Orlando while pushing recruiting Division I athletes for pro wrestling. So why are you going live on Instagram while you're having sex? Nevertheless, we've tried to make the pathway. We recruit heavily in colleges. We have an NIL program. We call it Next in Line. We have NIL kids across the country that have interest in WWE. Blah, 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 blah. Nothing interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah, so we're kind of in Lazy River territory now that I've gotten out of there, and I have not pulled it up, so I need to do that. But AEW has announced 13 matches. 13 for All Out, the 2 p.m. pre-show, the tailgate show, having Harley Cameron, Mina Shirakawa, Queen Aminata, and Willow Nightingale versus Megan Bain, Penelope Ford, Julie Hart, and Sky Blue. Let's stop there. I am here for this. Once again, the hot female hardcore division is undefeated in AEW. It is, because we tell them, go out there, have a hardcore match. They start hitting each other, and then it becomes a little bit too real, and then they're fighting for their lives eventually. I adored that Tekla Queen Aminata match for reasons I cannot explain. Tekla's my kind of crazy. Y'all know I love me some hard-hitting Queen Aminata. Everybody said after that first match, oh man, Tekla's probably really angry at her because I remember, like, I think she broke her nose or, like, really hit her stiff on something. And then all of a sudden, they're working every week with one another. Now, it might be a developing relationship in some ways, but I did adore that match. I had so much fun watching that match. That should have been the ECW Arena tribute match. It was just this match is insane because we may have half this match having wardrobe issues half the time because maybe we're wearing the Queen Amina, but Tekla came out in jeans. Awesome. Fernova. Amanada came out in jean short cutoffs. I appreciate the effort. I'll put it that way. Give me some knee pads over jeans. Give me some tank tops or muscle shirts. Give me padding if you'd like because you don't want to get hit. Pray for Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron. And probably Megan Bain. We're going to be on broadcast, or not broadcast TV, we're going to be on YouTube, I think. Or are we going to be on TNT? Either way, broadcast standards apply here, kids. But yes, I am here for. Tony intimated that it would be like a street fight with a tailgate theme such as water coolers and grills and weapons. Please do not put fire in the grills. Please do not put fire in the grills. Also announced for the show, Daniel Garcia and Katsuyori Shibata billed as the deciding match after each has a win over the other, and Samoa Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs versus the workhorseman team of JD Drake and Anthony Henry. The direction now of those matches seem to be Joe and Hobbs and Shibata defending the trio's title soon against Garcia and Wheeler Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli. Khan also announced that he was opening the pay-per-view show at 3 p.m. with Cope and Christian versus FTR. Dax Harwood apparently suffering a legit broken nose at the September 17th go-home angle when Christian punched him. Yeah, that didn't sound good. He's going to wrestle in this match. I think it would have taken a lot more. This is Dave. I think I would have taken a lot more of an act of God to keep him out of that match. I would agree, but man, I heard that thud of the other end of the microphone. I go, that was not pleasant right there. So let me dig up AEW All Out. I apologize for not coming with my homework. We'll do that. We'll do the quick and dirty. The quick and dirty of NXT Homecoming was, it was terrible. It was a member berry show. It was the 5-year high school reunion, if I can put it that way, which isn't really a reunion. And you're just barely, for some of you, getting out of college. Others of you on the 5- and 6-year plan, which is fine. Some of you in grad school, but you know, it's, hey, remember when we went to this school? We had some good times together. And you, the students, the graduating class of 2026, or whatever, someday you're going to make it like I made it because I believe in you. And half these people will be cut by that time. But just, I hated it. It looks like we're getting war games with a build between Triple H and HBK, which was the most grating part of the homecoming show. Their jokes don't land. I'm speaking also here for Chris Novembrino. My co-host is not here right now. He hated this. He was just like, this is just terrible. And they're the worst part because their jokes don't land and they're mugging and they're smugly talking to each other. And I agree with all of what Chris said right there. I don't want this to be, now see, it would be much worse under Vince McMahon, now that I think about it, because it'd be like NXT loses badly in both war games. But it's like, I like the main roster has taken the war games. I like the amount of skill there. I don't think when NXT had war games, it was the very experienced indie guys in it doing it. It wasn't your guy with 1 year experience doing it for the most part. It was your, you know, Ciampa's, Gargano's, Sanity, Undisputed Era's, Pat McAfee. He was fun. But yeah, I this might be like Ethan Page and company, but I don't know. I think this is the kind of brand supremacy I hate because we never have made NXT a threat to the main roster, so to speak. You know, other matches. Look, I don't know what's going on with Carmelo Hayes. I don't like the Miz pairing at all. It feels like he's lost on the main roster because he's small, and small guys don't do well on the main roster for the most part. I think he has the gift of gab that they've taken away from him because we're getting into catchphrase territory. And it looks like he's going to be relegated to the tag team division, quite frankly. I know they're setting up the breakup for Miz to break him out, but whatever. His best run on SmackDown is with the now fired Andrade in that best of seven. That stuff was great, and nobody watched it. Because it was on Friday night on the B show, where it didn't matter, or you're a shut-in. It just it was not a lot of people staying at home to watch SmackDown. They may watch it later. They may do this. It's just in the lexicon of storytelling, unless Cody Rhodes is on there, it's not important for the most part. Maybe Randy Orton, maybe Logan Paul, maybe John Cena now. But, you know, you can keep up with it on the YouTube. Let's see what the highlights are, and we move on. And, you know, I just didn't see it. I mean, it's not that there's bad stuff on SmackDown. It's just not appointment television, but maybe that's just a...
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Product of being silly season, as we like to say, that comes after SummerSlam. Now it's just 4 to 6 months of meh. What are we doing? Let's do some stunt stuff. Let's do this. Let's do that. The other. But let's do All Out 2025 coming at for you, aka All Out Toronto from the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And we'll go pretty much in order on your 0 hour. Harley Cameron, Mina Shirakawa, Queen Amanada, and Willow Nightingale versus Megan Bain, Penelope Ford, and the Triangle of Madness. Representatives of Julia Hart and Sky Blue, who I thought did a fairly decent promo with the Shining stuff. I kind of liked it. 8-woman tornado tailgate brawl. Harley better wear that mask because that nose might get broken again. I think babyfaces win this by pinning Penelope Ford. Or Sky Blue. That seems to be the things to do. Yes, this is going to be a fun mess. And I'm here for fun messes. Garcia versus Shibata. Garcia has to win this, possibly with the help of somebody else within the Death Triangle. The ops of Samoa Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs versus the Workhorseman, Anthony Henry, JD Drake. Samoa Joe's going to kill a fool. probably Anthony Henry. Although I'm here for Samoa Joe and JD Drake doing stuff. I'm also here for Hobbs and JD Drake doing stuff. Big fan of JD Drake. But the ops, definitely odds on favorite to win this. Going to the main card, Adam Copeland, Christian Cage versus FTR of Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood with Stokely Hathaway, hopefully receiving $500,000 for his purchase of many hoes as he likes. They did get fined $500,000, right? I mean, we're still on that, right? I enjoyed that segment. Felt for Dax Harwood's nose. Was kind of expecting Christian Cage to tell London, Ontario to shut up while he did his business. I expected this later in the card because I expected an angle after the match. But I expect Cope and Christian will win this. I think you're going to get a feel-good spot where Beth Phoenix comes down and takes care of Stokely in some ways. But I also expect Christian Cage to possibly kick Adam Copeland in the balls after doing a hug. Then we're just right back to where we started from. Because it feels like that. Took care of business. Go F yourself. Kick in the balls. That's my thinking on that. The Hurt Syndicate of Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and MVP versus Ricochet and the Gates of Agony, now known as GOA, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. I enjoyed that brawl. I enjoyed the framing of when MVP slugged Ricochet. Ricochet looks slick in those tracksuits, baby. I'll tell you that. If this is goodbye to Bobby, to the Hurt Syndicate, or at least Bobby Lashley and possibly MVP, I think they keep Shelton Benjamin. I think he's one of those guys that work rate geeks will still respect. I think they see the ceiling on Lashley and they don't want to push him, quite frankly. And I think MVP is going to defend his guys. But I see Ricochet and Gates of Agony winning this one. If they're keeping Shelton, they're pinning MVP. If they're not keeping Shelton, they may pin Shelton here, but I expect MVP to eat the pin either way because the other guys are wrestlers and MVP is part-time, and that's how you should do it. But I'm going to enjoy it. I think I'd really like to see the Gates of Agony come out of this looking like ass-kicking world beaters, but I expect they're going to take a lot first. If you want to be brave, don't do a banana peel finish and let one of the GOA pin Bobby Lashley. Strong. Like these two hosses fought and fought and fought and they got Bobby Lashley. I would love that. I think it would make them, quite frankly. I think doing they cheated and got the pin on Lashley by holding the tights. It's like that's not going to do anything for these guys. If you think you got something in the Gates of Agony, don't make them just look like Ricochet's henchmen. Make them look like they're badasses and let's do this. Mercedes Moné versus Rio, singles match for the AEW TBS Championship. I like Mercedes. I know she likes Japanese wrestling. I am not on the Rio train as much as others. I think you've heard me talk about Joshi stars here. I think they don't fit in with what AEW wants to do for the most part. Now, it's not that they're not athletic. It's just I think their gear needs to change a little bit and their working style needs to change a little bit. Rio has those great things where she, you know, she has her moves. Don't get me wrong. They're great. And when people throw their legs out from under themselves to take those cross body blocks, she looks fantastic. She doesn't promo. Her aura is kind of gone now that Kenny's out of power a little bit with the division and also just because of injuries and being gone. I don't see a lot of upside in giving her the TBS title, but if you're doing WWE booking, Moné was on top. After that, dressed in, let's put it this way, her Mexican heritage gear. I do enjoy Chameleon Mercedes Moné, based on what's on her mind, that's how she will dress. See also Sailor Moon. See also her Asian persuasions when she was still married. I do enjoy that stuff. I don't think Mercedes has really progressed either in terms of being on commentary and just doing her scripted lines. I'm kind of in a holding pattern with my girl CEO. But I could see a way that Riho won this title and we change things up and then Mercedes starts losing them all to hopefully then go after the main belt. But I don't think it's yet. And I think we kind of have a nice little division here with Mercedes as the head of it, not cross-pollinating to keep her happy and do her work rate, but I think Tony is kind of keeping her at a distance a little bit too. Darby Allin versus Jon Moxley in a coffin match. I expect Gabe Kidd to come back at this. I think Darby Allin should win. I think Darby Allin needs to win. I don't know if Darby Allin is going to win. Remember, we have some gaps on the roster right now in terms of star power. Moxley is still a star, even though we are so done, both Chris and I, with the Death Riders angle. But we're rebooting the Death Riders. Death Riders 2.0. Here we come. So I could see a way where Moxley wins this. I just don't think he should. Mark Briscoe versus MJF at a tables and tax match. Mark Briscoe is not winning until he gets the Dynamite Diamond Ring. That's going to be the story. He wins the ring. He beats MJF. That should be the story. Happy for Mark Briscoe to get on the main card yet again. Always welcome in my book. And I like MJF. MJF is an interesting hardcore wrestler because he shouldn't be hardcore wrestling. But when he does, he's a coward until it's time to not be a coward. And so he turns on that switch and it's kind of cool. But I expect MJF to find a way to win this one. In a four-way for the AEW Women's World Championship, Timeless Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter versus Chris Statlander versus Tekla. I was just reading it. Tekla should win. She's not going to. I think Tony's going to take some time off. But I said that last time, too. I'm amazed at how cold Jamie Hayter is right now. Because I was thinking about to that Storm Hayter match and how great that was at Full Gear a few years back. I wish this was one-on-one Hayter and Storm. I really do. I think you can build that. I like the Storm and Hayter part of the promo. I hated the Statlander part of the promo. You guys like Chris Statlander more than I do, and it's not anything to do with her talent. It's just the way her promos and her stories go. I just need a cleaner reboot than this, and I think what I'm getting is now Death Riders Chris Statlander winning via Wheeler Yuta and possibly Marina Shafir, but maybe Marina screws up and Yuta gets her the win, and then we start to figure out a way to throw Marina Shafir out of the Death Riders. But we'll see. Maybe we can do a reclamation on Chris Statlander still. I just think the Willow Nightingale thing has killed her, to be honest with you. Heel, babyface, sheepdog Yuta coming out going, you can still be one of us. All right, great. I've seen rumors of the best friends getting back together when Orange Cassidy comes back. I think Paul and I talked about that at one point. I'm just like, why? Yuta is kind of good in this role as the whipping boy. He's finally getting some heel heat in some cities. Why would you make him a babyface again? Ever. Continue. Go down this route, but give him something to do other than being the whipping boy. Make Daniel Garcia now be Wheeler Yuta's whipping boy. That's what should happen here. This should be like a fraternity where the pledges become the brothers and the brothers start hazing the pledges. I was not in a fraternity, but I assume that's what happens. Wish I had been in a fraternity. I just didn't drink. It was a legacy of Sigma Nu. They threw out all the Sigma Nus. I had a chance to run it, but I had friends who were Sigma Nus who were thrown out. And I decided, no, I'm going into my last year of college. I don't want to handle fraternity politics. Hangman Adam Page versus Kyle Fletcher in a singles match for the AEW World Championship. Let's skip it. I've missed some because they listed some of the ones after this. So let's do Okada versus Takeshita versus Máscara Dorada. Three-way for the AEW Unified title. Story's going to be Okada and Takeshita, Okada, Takeshita, Okada, Takeshita, pin Dorada. That's how this is going to go. Okada's going to pin Dorada. He's going to steal the pin from Takeshita. And tensions ensue within the quote-unquote Callis family, even though Takeshita, I think, is on his own. Big Bill versus Eddie Kingston. Kingston, murder death. I love Big Bill. Love the promo. He's going to get a huge ovation here, and he's going to do his All Japan 1992 tribute act. And it's going to be fine, and the crowd's going to love it. I don't think he's going to try and burn somebody alive. Maybe. Maybe he'll take a grill from the tailgate match. And Brian Keith We'll get flambéed by Eddie Kingston, who's been threatening arson for years. I don't think that's going to happen given our current climate, but it's Canada. Maybe it gets over there. Four-way ladder match for the AEW World Tag Team titles. Brodito versus the Young Bucks versus Jet Speed versus the Don Callis family. Etch Cero and Josh Alexander, which shocked me because I thought this was going to be the Top Flight Memorial. Put the flying geeks in there to be flying geeks and then kill them later. But I guess your roles of flying geeks might be Jet Speed, but this might be a way to win the titles. I highly doubt it. I'm kind of here for Etch Cero and Josh Alexander jumping off ladders, even though I don't think it's their job. I think they're there to be bases for the other flying guys, and that's fine. Paul Fontaine and I have a running bet. Who's going to do the dumber thing, Brody King or Bandito? He has Brody because of his size. I'm still thinking Bandito. Possibly both at the same time. I think the way they do this is that somehow the money, Chekhov's money bag, gets attached to these bags or gets attached to these belts, and somebody else gets the money and another team gets the belts. Possibly the Young Bucks getting their own money back. But I think the more easier stipulation is somebody steals the bag at some point, the Young Bucks go running after them and take them out of the match because the money is more important than the belts in the storyline, which is a perfect way to not think that the Young Bucks are going to win this match. So they shouldn't, I don't think. They could. I could see them working to Edge and or Cope and Christian and FTR and the Young Bucks in your TLC match. I could see the money being the title for that TLC match very easily. I have Brodito winning this. I could see any of the other teams other than the Don Callis family, although I enjoy that Etch Cero Josh Alexander pairing. I do. I think that's perfect. I love Etch Cero. I do. I think he could do something weird off the ladder if he wanted to. Kind of here for that. And then finally in the main event, Hangman Adam Page versus Kyle Fletcher. Singles match for the AEW World Championship. Okay, so your contract signing promo. I loved Kyle Fletcher in this. I thought he came off as a big, huge star in it. I think his cockiness was great. I think him saying, I would do anything to get this match, I'd do anything to you, I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying the Say My Name stuff. I think he is a big deal. Here's where I ruffle some feathers. I think Adam Page is weak in these feuds. I think he's looking for, how do I put it? Consolidation, consideration, consolation. He's looking to make amends with his opponents, and I don't like that. I was like you once. I was in your position. It's like, I just want to hear you say you're going to kick his ass, dude. Do it for Kenny Omega. It comes off as weak to me. And I understand he's the emo cowboy with feelings. I get it. It's making this feud not interesting to me, but it'll be a good match, as they say. I don't think he's a good champion. I want more from him. I want him to, even within this framework, be like, I don't want him to say, I was once like you, and do the hero's monologue to the villain, and you can find inside yourself, Darth Vader, the goodness to turn on the Emperor. We don't need that. Let Kyle Fletcher come to his conclusions, and I think that's going to happen in this match anyways, which is going to make this match not mean as much, I guess, because they now have that stipulation. If any member of the Don Callis family interfere, Fletcher will be disqualified and stripped of his AEW TNT championship. Now, that hangs in the balance, even though I don't hold AEW. And Chris and I have talked about this many times. AEW sucks at maintaining stipulations because they're usually there as a red herring or as a story point, and they don't matter within it. But it's either going to be a member of the Don Callis or non-member of the Don Callis family interferes, which is, you could possibly do, I guess Mark Davis isn't officially a member. I guess maybe there's something in the contract of, Okada, where he's not officially a Don Callis family member, but he's like an associate, but he's still with the Elite. Maybe it's the Young Bucks again. I don't know. But part of me thinks in some way, maybe Okada, my other thought was Okada comes down and he is a member of the Don Callis family. And he gets Paige, or he's there and he gets him stripped, even though Paige wins, kind of a thing. Not disqualified in any way, but he interferes because he doesn't give a crap and his title is more important, kind of a thing. I could also see Takeshita, after losing, comes back. He's going to go over, possibly win the IWGP title. He doesn't give a damn about, but he's still legally obligated to the Don Callis family or whatever. And then it ends up screwing Kyle Fletcher in a way. I don't know. That stipulation screams chicanery to me. And I kind of, you know, I hate this. It's like, okay, we're going this way. We're going this way. Swerve. It's like, all right, fine. But it's like, okay, if he's gonna promise to keep his people in the back and then he loses and then he somehow becomes petulant about losing, that's a far more interesting story to tell with Kyle Fletcher. Maybe he stops being the flashy, you know, wearing the weird sunglasses and the nice suits, and maybe this gives him a little bit more of an edge where he's, you know, now, okay, I had a taste of the mountaintop and I got knocked off. And now I need to change a little bit to get back there, type of a thing. Who knows? I'm going to enjoy it. It will be fun. I'll probably watch Sundays because I have nothing to do Sundays now that my beloved Joe Burrow has his big toe in a walking boot. And look, the Bengals will be a good 500 team, but that's about it. If he comes back, I'll be happy, but I am the Sads, and I have the Sads right now. Let's get to WrestlePalooza. Let's get out of here, shall we? Five-match card on the new streaming service of ESPN, the magazine. It's an old pull for you guys, but yes, ESPN. I believe it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern as well. It might start at 8. I have no idea. I'll be watching this on delay because there is college foosball to be watched, kids. Or maybe I'll just do multi-screen like other degenerate gamblers. Anywho, 3-4. Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre for the undisputed WWE Championship. We are in that season, entering fall, where they like to change a title here and there. Don't know if this will be the time, but somebody has to win Rumble to chase the title, and someone has to be chased. And Drew McIntyre has been doing yeoman's work carrying that brand for a while. And we got Randy Orton in the wings somewhere, looking to ruin Drew McIntyre's life. We also, you know, you do. You know, Logan Paul deciding to hell with it. I'll take on Drew McIntyre here, like on a show or something. He's the heel other heels hate. But you have people to throw into Drew McIntyre. You have, Sheamus again. Rusev's apparently not caring about heel babyface boundaries. Dominic Mysterio's there if we're turning him. I could see a case for Drew McIntyre winning this. I'm not going there just yet. I still think Cody Rhodes wins and he loses on a real pay-per-view like War Games. But, yeah, I've just talked myself into Cody Rhodes because I didn't know this match was happening. Anywho. Io Sky versus Stephanie Vaquera in a singles match for the vacant women's world title. Story is Rhea and Io. Rhea and Io. Asuka and Kairi are intertwined on this. We've had Io being the thing, and we've been kind of building to Io and Asuka. Does Io need the title for the feud? I don't think so. I think Io could presumably win the Rumble. I think Rhea's going to win the Rumble. But we have to think about that right now. Is it time for that toe in the water push that they love to do in the fall with people that they go, they're new, they're popular, let's give them a world title run, but not push them as the guy, because she shouldn't be pushed as the guy or the lady, if you want to put it in those terms, because Rhea Ripley still exists. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Bianca Belair these days. She's just kind of there to talk about Saudi Arabia, it would appear. We are top heavy, and it's an embarrassment of riches, and I still consider Kyrie a bit of a draw, even though, you know, she's kind of in the mid-card hell, but she's a story point thing, but she's still fun to watch. But I think Io loses. I think Stephanie Vaquero wins. I think Io and Asuka go here. I think possibly Asuka tries to interfere on behalf of Io, and that's the final straw. I think that's where we're going with this. WWE loves to overbook these types of things to get into various different stories, but I think then we get into the Stephanie Rhea feud that goes to Rumble, and one of those people, and I think Rhea might win at Rumble, and then Io wins the Rumble, and then challenges Rhea so that Rhea can beat her once and for all. But no, that's terrible, because Rhea has to win the title from Io. So I don't know, maybe Io wins this, and we do another 6-month thing of Io vanquishing people, and then she loses to Rhea. Well, no, she's gonna lose to Rhea at Mania, right? So, oh crap. Okay, let's have Stephanie win the title here. Let's have Io win it from Stephanie at the Rumble. There we go. That's how we get there. Then we have Rhea beat Io at Mania. And then we move on to different stories in a roster draft or whatever. How about that? That works. CM Punk and AJ Lee. Sorry for the rambling. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch in a mixed tag match. This feud must continue. I think Seth and Becky may win this. I think we're getting a one-on-one eventually. But I don't know AJ Lee how often she wants to wrestle, or even if she wants a one-on-one match. If this is it, I could see CM Punk and AJ Lee winning this. Because Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch don't need the win. But if we're going to split off into two different singles matches, if this is just a... if this is just a set piece to get to Punk and Rollins at a bigger show, maybe Seth curb stomps AJ Lee for heat. I mean, they don't like doing that, but this would be the exception, and this would be the time to do the exception. Overall, I think CM Punk and AJ Lee win this one because people want to see them win. But I can make every excuse in the book for Rollins and Lynch winning. The Usos versus The Vision of Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker. Cluster. I got Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker winning this because Jay and Jimmy can't get along, and LA Knight tries to unite them and then ends up making things worse and whatever. And then John Cena versus Brock Lesnar in a singles match. That is fascinating. I think a lot of people were expecting more of a blowback, and I just think we're not wired into the Brock Lesnar, Vince McMahon stuff as much as you think. As much as those of us who do these podcasts are, it kind of appeared from, I remember they did a read on either a college football or one of the Monday Night Football games, and they're just, oh man, have you seen that Brock Lesnar? He's huge or whatever. They don't know. They're just sportscasters who have a casual interest and have to do reads, like watching Joe Buck have to do a read for wrestling again, which you know he doesn't enjoy. It's high comedy for me. Chris Fowler does not know who John Cena is because it's John Cena to him. Let's smarten up the boys at ESPN, if we're going to be using their marketing. But I think John Cena gets his win back, quote unquote. I know that sounds ridiculous. I know maybe Brock's the retirement. You know what? Maybe Brock's the retirement match, and this is the setup. And then Brock does Suplex City in Indianapolis. You know, 20 different things, and it sets up, can John Cena come back and win this? Maybe we're setting up the redemption story for John Cena.
Yeah, sorry.
And that this is how we get there. Actually, that's what I'm going to go with. Thinking on the fly, I think Brock Lesnar wins this. And I think then we get into the, does John Cena have it anymore going in to his final matches? And I think Brock Lesnar is going to be the retirement match on Saturday night's main event because they need a draw for that. And as much as I love Drew and as much as I love Cody, I think Brock one last time. We can't get Dwayne. I think Brock's the guy. So I'm going to go with it there. And I'm going to end it there because I have no Vader Club and it was Chris's week. And hope he'll be back next week. Just schedules crossed and things. This has been Shake Them Ropes. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. You can follow me on X at Crep Game 13. You can follow Chris on Instagram at DOCTOR_NOV. He is only on Instagram. Go listen to his music on Spotify. We're part of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting family. I do a show on Fight Game Media called The Dynamite Show about 20 minutes after Dynamite goes off the air. Paul Ace Fontaine of Wrestling Observer and I go over all the stuff from that week's AEW and especially dissecting AEW Dynamite. Drops into your free audio catchers the next morning. For Chris Novembrino, I am Jeff Hawkins signing off. Have a good weekend.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions of the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marigold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get select style selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.